For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Sunday morning, March the 26th, 1989. Passover weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson from Wisconsin is the speaker of the morning.
On Sunday mornings, we have a special treat, and our treat is our school teacher, Mary Dye. And so it's time for Mary to come and give us a lesson this morning on the things of life. She started doing this, teaching to the young people at camp meeting at family camp in July and in December. And it's just gotten to where we have a class every Sunday morning for a few minutes. And she brings us some of the practical things of life. She's been a school teacher all of her life, and she's still one.
You boot me up, though. I wonder what the people think about me. Well, what I have to say, I know, seems very primary compared to what you've been hearing Brother Cook and Brother Johnson say. But my ministry is to the youth. And if I had my way, they'd all be right up here where I could look at them and talk right directly to them this morning. But since you're scattered out, I'll do my best to talk to you with what the Lord has given me anyway. Do you love the kid next door? I'm going to talk that. I was raised in the black land belt of North Texas. It was good, deep soil, and Daddy raised high-yield crops. But in the winter season, during the rainy season, that black land of Kansas was soaked with mud that you could hardly walk. You get balls of mud on your feet, and they just get bigger and bigger till it was really worse. All the school kids wore high-top shoes coming way up on their legs. But even then, we'd walking in that mud, we'd get mud up on our old black rib stockings. In the fourth grade, I sat in front of a boy named John, and he'd take his old muddy shoes and poke them through the... He'd put his feet up on my seat, and there was... You know, there's the seat and there's the back of it, and there's a little room in between there. He'd stick his old muddy feet up there on me, and the back of my dress would just be as muddy as a pig pen. And I'd ask him to quit, and he didn't pay any attention. And every day when I went home, the back of my dress and all in there were just muddy. And I sure didn't like him. My mama didn't like him either. She never had seen him, but she didn't like him. It meant extra work for her because she sent me to school clean every day, and she had to do a lot of washing and ironing. She wanted to write a note to the teacher. But Daddy said, no, just let it alone. Said, they're new in the community. We don't know them. We don't know what kind of outcome might come of it if you did or said anything. So he said, I'd just rather let things ride for a while. So I got muddy every day. But that winter, there was an epidemic of flu. Real bad epidemic. And this family, the daddy and John, and his sisters and brothers all had the flu at the same time. The daddy had it real bad. My daddy settled the riding pony. He went into town 2.5 miles and brought the doctor back out to see this man. Mother, to be a good neighbor, went over to see him. It was about 0.5 mile from where we lived. She went over to help the woman. She took some things out of her pantry that she thought sick people could eat. And she walked over there. And when she saw the scarcity of the bare necessities of life in that home, her heart was broken. And so she did all she could. When she came back home, she told Daddy about things. She got busy and began hunting up what she could take. Canned goods, things that she had had, staple goods. She even took him a quilt. Daddy gave him the side of a hog. He carried a bushel of corn down to the grist mill and had it ground into corn meal for him. And would you believe it? When John came back to school, he didn't dirty my skirt one time. They'd moved around so much that he was way behind in school. He hadn't been interested in school. He was restless and everything. But he turned out to be a pretty nice kid. And I was able to help him some with his spelling. I'd pronounce the words for him, the words he didn't know. He'd study them. And then I'd pronounce them to him and let him spell them. And then when we'd stand up to have our spelling lesson, well, he could do pretty well of spelling his words. And that encouraged him. Same way with the multiplication table. I helped him with that. And he got to where he really liked school. And you know, from that time on, his clothes began looking better. Might have been because Mama had put in a bunch of her old homemade lye soap. Maybe they had soap to wash them with. Might have been the reason. But anyway, he looked a whole lot better. And Mother said the reason that he'd acted like he had was because he's such a dirty, grimy, uncouth thing. And he's way behind in his lessons, and he was embarrassed, and he didn't know how to handle the situation, and so he just acted like that. But his attitude changed towards me and my attitude changed toward him, too. I even liked him. You know that family, excuse me, I've been a-reading about people saying, you know, and I'm not going to say that. That family changed, too. They became one of our best neighbors. And Mother got the woman interested in going to the Ladies' Aid Society. That was a little church organization of the women that they did things to help people and all. And they went there once a week. And before the summer was over, the whole family was interested in attending the little community church that was there. And that little old John has finally turned out to be a missionary. He went to West Virginia, where they had come from, in the mining district back there, to bring the love of God that they had found there among the people in that community to the people, his kin, and those that he knew. Now, boys and girls, I want you to know that the Lord tells us to be kind, tender-hearted, to have compassion, to show love. And I'm going to read some to you here now. If you want to look at it, it's in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to start with the 8th verse. My whole aim and desire in standing up here and talking to you is to try to encourage the young people to have a better understanding of the Word of God. Now, there's a whole lot of what Brother Cook and what Brother Johnson have said that's above me, and I know it is above a lot of these young people. and say something that you can get a hold of. Something that'll keep you. Something that'll help you. Something that just won't let you go. I believe I'm a great advocator of prevention rather than cure. And if I can get you before you get into trouble, then I don't have to cure you. All right, I'm going to start reading at the 8th verse. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion. That means loving tender kindness toward one another. Love as brethren. I could say a whole lot about that. That's been said about sex and everything, so just leave it like that. But just love each other because you're people. Be pitiful, have compassion, and be courteous. I have found something in Arkansas, and I've been here, that I've never seen anywhere I've ever lived. And it thrills me. When I come to church, now I'm an old woman, and I'm crippled at that. But these young fellas come out there to open the door to help me get in. When I go downtown to Walmart, to wherever I happen to go, people will open the door for me and hold the door and let me get in or out. And I'll say kind words and smile to them and say, God bless you. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. Not yank, 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 yank. Not rendering evil for evil. Or railing for railing. Somebody rail out at you. Kind word turns away wrath. Give a blessing, knowing that you're there to be called. And then you'll receive a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Ask the Lord to set a watch about your mouth, that you won't say anything contrary to the love of God to hurt your schoolmate or your mama or your papa or anybody as far as that's concerned. Let him eschew. That word eschew means resist and do good. Let him seek thee. The Bible says, be at peace with all men as much as it's within you as possible. Make it a point to be at peace. It's rather to suffer wrong than to have a problem. That's what Jackie said to us. Now I went with the mud on me. It's rather to suffer a little wrong for a while than to cause trouble. It says, seek peace. And then do it. Look after it. Go get it. God help. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. My favorite school teacher. We started doing something a few months back. On Sunday mornings, why she talks and then first to the tape, and then I talk, or whoever follows her, and we begin to send those tapes around the country, and we mail out quite a few of them every week now, to different, especially some of the kids around the country who've heard her here at camp meeting, and we send them to them for Mary to still be their school teacher. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we need to put Brother Rod up here to on this morning, Brother Johnson, and I got so taken away with Mary there, I forgot to get him harnessed up. Ron's getting that done. Praise the Lord. Mary has been a school teacher all of her life. She sees the practical side of life, and she and the children all love her. We should have had the kids up here this morning, but during the family camps, for this section over here all belongs to the young people. The little ones and the big ones, the little ones have the front rows, and then the older ones have the rows behind. And this is their part of the chapel, and so we roped that off then, and then she can stand right and talk to them eyeball to eyeball. Amen. Well, the presence of the Lord has really been wonderful here these days, and it is this morning, and we're just privileged to have you all with us, and we hope you can come back again for camp meeting again. Watch the little paper. All you got to know is every holiday we'll be here for camp meeting, and we invite you to come and be part of us and to help us and be a blessing to us, and we'll try to be a blessing to you. Brother Johnson.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's stand together so that we can stand together. Hallelujah. You know, I want to ask the Lord to seal that teaching in my spirit. Sister, you'll never know how precious your teaching just this morning was. I'm anxious to get I want my children and grandchildren to sit under that. That's good. Amen. So, excuse me, that's courage to come up after the Lord Jesus, someone like that. And Father, I thank you for our sister's obedience to your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for the faithful parents that she had and for her obedience to her parents. And Lord, I thank you for the events in life that you're bringing to recall at this day, for her to relate to us from your scripture list. God, the story from this morning, I would ask that you would seal that within us. Let it become life to all of us, from the littlest child on up to the eldest here. And the Lord, let it be something that we carry in our spiritual hip pocket, and that we would draw from it at times when we're tempted to reach out and strike back. Lord, we thank you for the body ministry in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I will tell you that I am wrestling to hear the voice of the Lord for this morning in how to express to you what I know that God wants to send us on the road with this morning. And I'd like to start by reading from Jude chapter 20. Oh, chapter 20, yes. That's where my wife corrects me from. We tease her about her proverb from the ironing board. And she's going to teach a sermon about husbands with stiff necks. Hallelujah. Verse 20. I want to read it from the Amplified so that we can better grasp what the Lord is going to minister unto us this morning. Hallelujah. But you, beloved, I'm so glad he calls me beloved, build yourselves up or be founded on your most holy faith. And in parentheses, the Amplified says, make progress. Oh, isn't that rich? Rise like an edifice, higher and higher is what it says. Then it closes with the statement in that verse, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praying to me has been a gracious and a grand time of walking with you and with the Lord. And I'm so grateful for the teaching of Brother Tommy. I say to him many times, I wish that I could travel much with you and just sit And Bill, what a privilege it must be. And I'm not edifying a man, but I am edifying a vessel that's being used by God and the power of God coming through. And just think how God has been so good to us as we've come together. And to use Brother Jack Harris and Brother Moody and his wife and Glennon Irma and Brother Bill and so forth. But how much our God and our Father loves us. And how much our God and our Father wants to draw us unto Him and into His likeness. And then He has seen favor to visit us with these ministries and to minister to us with all love and grace. Hallelujah. He's doing that because He is wooing us that we might trust Him. That we might become one who is totally obedient to His every command that He issues, most always with a still small voice of follow me, my son or my daughter. He is training us to hear the still small voice from behind our ear. Now, we have been trained well in these sessions that we've come together these last few days, and there'll be much more training. And the evil one, Satan, would like to do some things to us to cause this great progress in the level of our faith that's growing to be destroyed. He'd like to do like Sanballat and the gang did with Ezra and Nehemiah. He'd like to come and cast accusations against us. And he'd like to say, the wall of faith that you built today, a fox could walk on that and it would fall over. And so we can expect that as we have walked in a blessed place of glory with our Lord, where we have been risen into heights, that we are going to be allowed to be tested in those areas, number one. Number two, the evil one, he's not going to be so open, probably, as to attack us with ferociousness while we're assembled together, because the power of God is so mighty as we assemble together. And might I add, that's why he says, especially in the last days, you and I must come together to exhort and edify one another. But it's going to be in these times alone, as we go back to the familiar surroundings of the familiar spirits, of the familiar temptations, of the old nature habits, of settling into the routines of the day. And I want you to look, if I can find it, to a scripture. It's in Zechariah. We're not going to give that guy an inch, because he'll take a mile. Zechariah chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Now, we'll be talking some about faith this morning, mostly about victory this morning, and we're going to use it and carry it with us as we go so that we walk on in victory, so that next time we come together, we can build our wall even higher. Praise be to God. Chapter 3, we're going to read it in this order, verse 1, verse 3, verse 2. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Verse 3 now. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Now look at this statement. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, we're not going to look into this only on a very shallow way to grab just some strength to hang on to. Satan, as we caught on yesterday, wants to rob us of life. There are many ways that he'll do it. He attacked Job through his mind. He attacked Job through his physical body. He attacked Job through his friends. He even attacked Job by having his wife rise up and try to attack him. But you know, I got so blessed from that, because Job didn't listen to his wife in such a way. And so we need to recognize that you and I have received living truth from the Word of God as we have gathered together. And many of us have been set free from things, from spirits, from demonic influence. And we knowledge which will give us the ability to walk in victory over areas where we were walking in death before. Amen. Okay, now we've got habits. Not only do we have habits, but we are also susceptible to thoughts that are not pure, and we're being brought into where they are pure. And Satan knows that. Therefore, he is going to that we are unworthy and that we are failing, and this was all of no avail. And like a fox, he's going to say, I'm going to knock down that wall. And Sanballat and the gang couldn't get away with it. Amen. Isn't that right? So this is the picture that I want us to see. As we come before the Lord, we have this faith that our Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. Number one. Number two, we have a new name. We have a new image, a new likeness. He is presenting that new likeness unto God the Father. Okay. He is, by the blood of Jesus Christ, he is presenting us unto the God the Father continuously. Okay. Now, you and I only know what that new image is because it was an intimate relationship that you and I have that no one else has. So it's a name that no one else knows. It's a personal relationship that only you know and God knows through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is presenting that unto us. And Satan, notice he is standing at the right hand. Where do the sons of God proceed from? The right hand. Who is the one that Satan is accusing? He's accusing the ones that are going to cause him the most trouble, that are going to defeat him. He's not accusing the ones who are not following after God, but instead he's going to the source of the trouble for in his kingdom. And he's accusing them. Now, what does he see? He is looking at Joshua in verse 3 in old filthy garments. Well, that's how Satan sees us. He sees us walking. He sees us as Jesus was ministering. Let me go back for a second to Peter. I don't think I've shared this with you, one of you here, but not all of you. Remember when Peter was boasting to the Lord, to Jesus, and saying, I'm never going to fail you. I'll stand up through the bitter end. Doesn't that sound like us? I mean, we're riding pretty close to God right now. Even those of us that are mature, our faith is strong, isn't it? And that's good. We want to build on that. But then Jesus was able to see, and he said, Peter, he said, you're going to fail, but I'm going to pray for you. And Jesus recognized that Peter was not going to not fail, and Jesus didn't pray that Peter wouldn't fail. But Jesus prayed, I pray that your faith will not fail you. And so we have this comfort and this strength. Satan is accusing us even if we fail and stumble and fall along the way, and if we yield to temptation at different times. But we have this blessed promise that Jesus is pleading my personal case before God the Father and your personal case. And he's saying, that is a brand plucked out of the fire. Hallelujah. Satan, that brand plucked out of the fire does not have on filthy garments. They've been taken away. And he has the garments of white. He has the garments of white. Well, there is so much there, I don't want to get into the teaching of that, but I want you to see that the accuser of the brethren, the accuser is going to, and I'm not speaking it into existence, we know that it's going to happen, and we need to understand that. Now, Jesus, in John chapter 17, let's look there for a minute. You know this too, but we want to strengthen ourselves. Oh, the simple word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's just let the Holy Spirit strengthen us, and then we're going to pray for something. Starting with verse 15, Jesus was praying. Now, the scene again is that this is just before Jesus was going into his personal ministry. It was at the end of his ministering to others. His responsibilities in fulfilling the will of God was such that this portion of my life is finished, and I'm going to turn around now and go into the final portion, which is a personal battle. And so these are the inspirations that the Father had him utter, that the Father ministered to him through the Holy Spirit in these last moments. And it was shows the beauty of the humanness of Jesus here. He had great care and concern for those disciples. And he was pleading to the Father. And he was saying, Father, I've done what I can do. Now I must surrender them unto you into your care. And this is how he was praying this prayer. And he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Oh, hallelujah. Do you understand the beauty of this? Jesus is interceding for you and I. And he's not saying, oh, Father, send them to a cave of holiness where they might grow a long beard and not brush their teeth and get smelly and ugly and wait for my coming. But instead, he's saying, go out where the action is, where the evil of the world is, and let them be a light. But Father, you keep them so they don't give in and overcome by that evil one. And Jesus even taught that in that prayer. Deliver us from the authority of the evil one. Hallelujah. Woo! That makes me feel like a mountain killer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Now some people are going to say, let's cover those areas of doubt right now. Yeah, that was for the disciples. No, it wasn't. Let's read a little bit further. Let's go down to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Who's a shall believer on him through the word? Hallelujah! We're shall believers. Amen. Praise be to God. There is strength in that. So, we'll not dwell upon that, but let that minister to your soul. Now, I'd like you to look with me to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Some of the arrows that Satan will shoot at us, we're going to attack head on at the start. We've dwelt a lot upon Old Testament scripture. All Old Testament points towards Christ. Isn't that right? And then the New Testament builds on Christ towards Christ coming again. So the two flow together, and it's one book, as Brother Glenn taught yesterday. But we need to get this solid within us, because the enemy would say curses were from the old, and he's going to try and rob us from this thing. And demons and so forth. So let's just slay it with the word right now and carry it in your pocket. Romans chapter 15. Is that what I said? Yes. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written, what? For our learning. Okay. That we through patience, that's a tough word, and comfort of the scriptures, that's a good thing. Because I need the comfort of the scripture as I'm learning patience. Amen? Might have hope. Okay, so the things, number one, in the Old Testament they were written there. One of the reasons they were written were for us to learn patience and to be comforted by the examples, but also to help us to see that there is a victory in the end. All right. Hallelujah. That's why we go to these Old Testament things. Okay, let's look at one more scripture along that line. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, yes. It describes the trials and the tribulations prior to that of the Israelites as they were going through the wilderness, and it describes their murmurings and their grumblings that we can all relate to, and that they grieve us. We don't like them. They're part of us that we're getting set free from. But in verse 11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples. And they are written for what? Our admonition. And that word admonition comes from a word that means to warn, or to warn the people about, to blow a trumpet and to sound the alarm upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Old Testament has been written as a sign to us, as a ministering of life to us from the Word of God, because the Word is life, and it's to minister to us, to put us on guard that the thief is going to come and try to kill and destroy, and we should recognize this. and they're going to show us the examples of how the thief comes to kill and destroy. Hallelujah. So that's why we have the beauty of the Old Testament scriptures spelling out so simply, and I want to show you the victory this morning that we have from the Old Testament. The victory over curses, the victory over demons, how we can see that drugs and alcohol are a curse intended for a nation that goes the way that America is going, and it's intended for the last times. But there is a victory through Christ, and you can have deliverance even this morning over victory over drugs and alcohol if you believe His word. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans 8:37. I dare say you can all quote it. We just carry that word with us. And I want us to throw this thing to Satan. Every time you get a little bit of doubt about your deliverance, every time just because you failed, you think, what's the use? Every time you fall into a sin and you ask for forgiveness and then you feel depressed and dejected and unworthy and you throw in the towel and he's trying to call you into what's the use and go on to more. You remember this scripture. It's New Testament scripture that we're going to use now. And let's throw it in the face of Satan. Nay, well, let's back up. Let's really give it to him. Let's go back up to 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's read it all together. Oh, I love this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's go on. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord! Hallelujah! You love us, Lord, and we'll not be separated from you. Glory to you, Lord. Let your word be life. Let your word be life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Let's look at that word conqueror for a minute. That word conqueror is N-I-K-A-O. And we don't find it, but it is also found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Let's hop over there for a second. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Let's say who the lamb is. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And I'm trying to find where the word is that I want to tell you about. I'm looking for the word prevailed in there. Verse 5. And one of the elders saith, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. That word prevailed is that N-I-K-A-O, the same thing as conquer. We see, and the seven seals and the opening of the book is a whole other teaching, but it's the unveiling, a step at a time and a line by line and a precept by precept. And it's a walking through the waters from the ankles to the knees, up to the thighs, up to the shoulders, but never over the head. And it's reaching the shore in Christ Jesus. He has prevailed. He has won. He has conquered. And He is unveiling these things in His time, and He'll never give us more than we can take, but He will unveil these pages in His
his book and require us to walk through them. And part of the walking through is deliverance. Part of the walking through is being, one of the final pages even, is total deliverance from demonic forces, total deliverance from satanic forces, totally deliverance from evil spirits, a pure mind and a pure heart. And we're on about page 99, if there were 100, I believe. Amen? Okay. But he hath prevailed. And that word means conquer. Let's look at it once more. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 11.
Is a late lunch okay this morning, brother?
Yeah, I thought it was 1 o'clock.
Okay. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want to do verse 10 and 11. We've heard this before here. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, voice saying in heaven, now is come. That's present tense. That's today. That's this hour. That's life. Now is come. Salvation. That word salvation also means safety. Did you ever realize that? Huh? We are in the safety of God the Father's right hand. He is holding us in his right hand. He's holding us with a power that Satan cannot pry his hand open. The only way we're going to get out of that right hand is we kick and squirm and yell and say, God, I renounce your right hand of power, and we jump out. Satan, there's no way he's got the authority to pull us out. Hallelujah. That's what that word salvation means. Praise be to God. Number two, and strength. That word strength is a dunamis strength. It's not the exousia, delegated authority strength, but it is that reproductive power of God, that river of life strength that comes out from us. It's the action part of the Holy Spirit. It's that thing of the gifts of the Spirit going forth. Most of all, it's the power of God going forth through our lives. Hallelujah. Okay, now is the time for that, he says, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accursed them before our God day and night. But now look at this in verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That word overcame is nikao, N-I-K-A-O. I may slay that if it's a Greek student, but that's how it's spelled. It's the same word as conquer. It's the same word as prevail. Now it's being used as an overcomer, as overcame. And what it says is, one who overcame, one who has accomplished it already, and we're in the process of accomplishing it, is one who has come under the blood of the Lamb. We've gone to the cross. We've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. When you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, and let me tell you, if there's some of you here this morning that have not really surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. The Holy Spirit of God will be moving upon your heart this morning and will be ministering to you. And you will know there's something happening to me from within. I thought I was a religious person. I thought I was a Christian. But now I see I wasn't, and it's time to make that decision. You will make that decision this morning. I believe this with all of my heart. Oh, so listen to the Spirit of the Lord. Okay. And then they went on, and those overcomers were those that lived by the word of their testimony. That word testimony also is a martyr. So in the natural, in the physical, they had only one care, and that was to be obedient to the will of God the Father. They had no care. Now, they didn't live foolishly and flippantly, but their priorities were in order. And it was God first in all things. And if God chose to let them be wealthy, fine. They handled their wealth. If God chose to let them be middle class, fine. If God chose to let them be poor, fine. Now, when I say poor, he's never going to let them be poor to the point of nothing. But I'm talking about poor in the standards of the community that we live in. And if God chose so, they were still filled with the satisfaction of God first. They were content like Paul. Paul was content whether he was shipwrecked, whether he was making tents, or whether he was attending the finest school or preaching in the finest temple. What an example that man was. And then the final thing is of an overcomer or a conqueror is this. They loved not their lives unto the death. And that is the process of crucifying the flesh. We have to be willing to lay down our life for our friends. And that's not just a physical going and laying in front of a steamroller for my friend. But what that is, my friends are you and I. You are my friends and I am your friends. That's what Jesus taught. And when Jesus was asked who his friends were, he pointed to those around him, didn't he? But we must be willing to lay down our life for the ministry that Christ has placed within us. We must be willing to say, I love the ministry and the calling of God upon my life, and I am willing to do it at the expense of the death of myself, at the death of that old Jezebel spirit. I'm not going to control anything. The people that are going to be conquerors are not the ones that walk around exalting themselves as holier than thou, but they're going to be the ones that are walking with the attitude of the servant of how may I serve you, with the attitude of Jesus that washed the feet of Judas, knowing full well that he was going to be betrayed by Judas in a short time, but I'll still be a servant unto you. That's the kind of a person that's an overcomer. That's the attitude of a leader in the body of Christ. That's the attitude of Christ in you. That's what God wants out of you, to minister, to lay down your life, your way of thinking, that you might function in a body where God places you to minister unto each other. That's the body of Christ ministry. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Praise be to God! Hallelujah! Look at Romans chapter 2 and 3. I mean Revelation, forgive me. Chapter 2 and 3. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to add something as a thought. I confess, I wanted to preach on body ministry and things like that this morning, and the Lord just won't let it be. But He's going to let me say something. I want to urge you to go to, and now I'm talking to all of us, to go to your prayer closet and wait on the Lord alone. You men, you've got extra responsibility. It's awesome. But I want you to cry out to God. I really want you to, but you have to do this of your own will. To cry out to God and ask God to reveal to you what your ministry for this day is. You see, God gives us different ministries in different eras. Could spend all day telling you how I ran around and forsook my family in my ministry and not God's ministry. But in the chaos it caused. But number two, and then as He reveals the Christ in you that's to function in the body ministry, remember it's going to be a supernatural thing. Supernatural is cleaning the bathrooms under the anointing, and I mean that with all my heart. Believe me, you'll get blessed like you've never been blessed. I speak from experience. And as He ministers this to you, then you cry out and you say, God, where do I fit in the body of Christ? Now, we are swayed most of the time by climate, job, friends, family, every kind of an earthly convenience that we can think of where we want to live. Mom and I want to live on the Wisconsin River so we can get up in the morning and catch our breakfast. So we're pretty sure that's not going to be where we'll be. Maybe we will, but I doubt it. Glenn, you don't know. That river is tempting. But we need to know where we are to be in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Now, don't let denominationalism hinder you from hearing the voice of God. It is, now I'm not going to say what I would like to say, but I'm going to be gentle and I'm going to tell you the truth, and you got to love me because Jesus says so. There is no salvation in a denomination church. Please understand this. I'm pleading with you with weeping on the inside. I was deceived. I thought that the trademark on the bottle of ketchup was so important until I tried generic ketchup and I found out that was the best for me. It is the body of Christ, and it is God's business where he's placing you. And I'll tell you right now, it would be totally out of context of Scripture and anti-scriptural if he would place you in a body of Christ where man is exalted as someone super spiritual over you. That's not of God.
Amen.
And God says, come out of it.
Yes.
Oh, please hear me.
Yes. Come on. Amen.
You must come out of that.
Yes.
And God will place you. I'm trying not to look at anybody. But God will place you where he wants you to function properly.
Yes.
In the body of Christ. You cry out to God and be willing. Now, that's a definition of an overcomer from God's Word. I have many scriptures to back this up, maybe another time. But I want you to grasp this. Now, look at something in chapter 2 and 3. There are seven churches, seven being the number of perfection. So, totally, when these seven churches have their act together completely, they represent the true church, the true body of Christ, I believe. Okay? Churches are not stone and metal and so forth. They are people, flesh and blood people like you and I. So if a church is flesh and blood people, it means that those seven churches represent people who have overcome. And we do a teaching on this, and we will not get into that either this morning, but you must understand that six of those seven churches had something that was wrong with them. Then there was a definition of what was wrong and what they should do about it. God will never tell you what's wrong without giving you the medicine. Hallelujah. And then, as he gave them the medicine, he gave them a promise. And in all seven churches, he told them, to him that overcometh, to him that overcometh. And it's that N-I-K-A-O. It's that one that is victorious, that prevails. We are more than conquerors. It is as Jesus prevailed to open the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. But this also tells me, and by the way, the Church of Philadelphia that Tommy shared on last night is the only one that wasn't chastised and rebuked for doing something wrong, but they were told to hang on. And do you know what they were doing that was right? Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. They were giving forth the love of Christ. They were ministering the love that God would have. It was Christ-guided love. And they were in a foreign territory of great evil. And they were encouraged by God. Hang on, hang on. Hold fast to your faith. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Okay. That means that the other six churches were being called to reach the stage of perfection as a conqueror. And the way it was going to come was by getting rid of something. Well, I would like to think that getting on my hands and knees and doing 500 I'm sorries gets rid of something. But the cruel road of experience found out that even 1,000 I'm sorries doesn't get me anywhere. Repentance is turning my back with godly sorrow and walking away from the sin and crying out to Almighty God for strength to keep walking away from that ugly sin. That's true repentance. Until, and I have also found out another lesson. While I am crying out to God, at different times a demonic force would speak out of my mouth and I would have to be delivered from that thing, or I would be feeling a chain of shackles in the middle of the night by demons, and almost to the point where I would cry to my wife and say, honey, come down here and pray for me. But yet I couldn't do that, and suddenly great release would come because of the name of Jesus. And then there are times when we need deliverance where others have to come in and pray for us. Deliverance is real. Deliverance is being set loose, and it's in the timing of God. In order to be an overcomer, we've got to get rid of this foreign matter that cannot go into the kingdom of heaven where purity and righteousness and whiteness is. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, Lord. I need to relate an experience very quickly. I'd rather spend it on the Word, but it'll help. We used to have a very small trucking company. God was good to us. We've learned how to, what is it, be abased until bound. Both ends of the spectrum. And, well, we're learning, I should say. One day I was driving down the streets, and you know the story. I was driving down a freeway in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a busy city. The freeways are comparatively busy, but nothing compared to California. Huh? But it was in the rush hour, and I had a van that was stacked full, as I recall, of cartons of something, some kind of freight. And I was just tooling along my merry way, and suddenly my eyes were brought to the attention of a tavern down below the freeway. And I began to ache for a bottle of beer and a whiskey. And I began to have a great driving force from within made me want to go in there and pull off on the exit on the freeway and to just try a drink and just rest for a while. You deserve it. You've worked hard, you know, all of the logic. Lo and behold, as I was driving along, I'm not going to tell you the details of it, but a car pulled up alongside of me, and I was tempted in the area of lust that was gross. And all of a sudden, my mind started to run along the things of lustful thoughts that were dirty and evil and rotten, things I'd gotten the victory over a long time ago. And that was coupled with this pressure to drink now. I was really getting socked. Ooh, was I getting socked. And as I was driving along down the freeway now, I was starting to sweat, and I was saying, God, God, what's going on here? And I couldn't feel the presence of God anywhere. I had no knowledge of God being around me, and I was being brought back to an ugly, sinful nature. Then a third thing happened to me. I was delivered from cigarettes, a chain smoker, instantly. I used to wake up in the middle of the night coughing and hacking from cigarettes and light one up while I couldn't sleep because I was coughing and hacking. You know how that goes, and so on. And all of a sudden, I had a driving urge for a cigarette, and this was overwhelming me, and the van became full of evil, and there was evil forces all around me, and pretty soon I started to get choked, and I knew there was something trying to take the very life out of me and kill me, and I was wrestling in that van as I was going in freeway traffic now, and I thought, oh, I must call on the name of Jesus, this is not right. But before I could do that, I had to learn to try and cast off these three particular areas of deliverance by myself, and I couldn't do it. I was hopeless, and I couldn't even, I got to the point where I felt I couldn't utter the name of Jesus even. And I was struggling, gasping for air. And suddenly, there was a release of this tension, but it didn't come until I realized how ugly these sins were and how much I hated them and how I really didn't want to get back into that thing. And then, and only then, could I say, Jesus. And these things just swept away in the van filled with angels ministering release and power. And every demonic force went, and I had a glorious trip after that. But I had to learn through that experience what real repentance and deliverance was. And that's what God does with us when we meet with Him alone. He sets us free from those things. Oh, glory. That's what an overcomer does. That's what one goes through many times. Praise be to God. Deliverance is New Testament. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Does Philippians hide on you like it does me? Wherefore, my beloved. Now, Paul would not be saying this and calling non-Christians my beloved. So he was speaking to Christians. Born-again Christians. Like you and I. Flesh and blood. Desiring to serve the Lord. It's so real. As ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Look at this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Two things that I want us to see from that. Work out. That word carries with it the following description if we were studying the original language. Bring to a completion. And it comes from a root word that means distribute. Distribute your salvation in all areas of your life. And when you study the word your salvation, you'll find it means much more than just one-time salvation. But it means also deliverance from evil powers. It means many, many other things. So God is saying, distribute this salvation power that you have in your being with fear and trembling, with fear of God. We must recognize the love of the Father, but we also must realize that the Father is straight as an arrow just. The Father does not hear but God. The Father cannot make any leniences towards us due to circumstances. The Father will not deviate one centimeter from the truth. He will be as straight as an arrow. And you know, I found in raising kids, they want the truth. They don't want me to be a soft touch. They don't want me to be an easy pushover. Isn't that right? They really want the truth. And they want the steady truth all the time. They don't want truth one day, half truth the next day, some truth the third day. We want an answer, and that's what the Lord, that's how we need to see the Father. Now there's tough love from the Father. Tough in our eyes, not tough in His. But there's no chastisement that seems pleasant for the season, He says. But those whom He loves, He chastises. Why is He chastising us? Because He sees something in us that is hindering our straight walk. And so He's going to minister to us to get rid of that thing. And whatever it takes, we're all different. So we must respect our God and our Father, and we must respect Him to the point that we look upon Him with a trembling fear, not out of fright of I'm going to run, but out of respect, I will honor You. Okay. And deliverance is working it out today. Hallelujah. Let me just throw in another nickel side trip here. Work out my own, not my neighbor's. The destruction of the church, it'll never be destroyed. But one of the enemies that's trying to destroy the church is to work out my brother's salvation instead of my own. It's not his business, not my business. That's God's business. Hallelujah. Okay. We won't look at it, but Acts 14:22 says, through much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom of God. We've laid groundwork by these scriptures that you might know this thing. Deliverance is for today. I want to slay the enemy of doubt. I don't want it to enter in it anymore. Okay? So, we'll not doubt that anymore. Are we agreed? Amen. Okay. Now, remember Gideon and his army? I'm not going to read it, but I just want to quickly tell you. Originally, Gideon was told to go fight the enemy. And I believe the first number of soldiers, he issued a call. And he said, all gallant men of war, anybody that wants to join me, let's go to war against the enemy. God has said go. So I can just see all the heroes at home. Honey, I'm going to go be a soldier. So Mom cooked a big pot roast or hamburgers or his favorite dinner, and she carefully bundles up his socks and his toga and puts it in his camel case. And away he goes, marching on with Gideon to war. And there's a big parade, and everybody is enjoying it. Oh, isn't it great to be in God's army? Then they get to the site where they're going to prepare for battle. And suddenly, homesickness, awareness of the enemy. I'm afraid. I'm in a foreign territory. Oh, this isn't familiar at all. Oh, would I ever love to have a roast beef sandwich. And here I got to eat sea rations or something like that. And suddenly you begin to realize there's a price to pay. And God looks down at those that have fear in their heart in Gideon's army. And He says to Gideon, you got a bunch of men here with fear in their heart. They're not going to qualify for my army. Send them home. 10,000. I think 7,000 went home. I don't know what the figure was, but the majority of them went home. There were 10,000 left. That's the way it was. There were 10,000 left. And God says, that's too many. If I send 10,000 men to do battle, they're going to think they won the war. And I want to receive the glory. So God says, I tell you what. You let there be all the men go down to the river and drink. And the ones, let's read it, 1 Kings, otherwise I'll get it wrong. Isn't it in 1 Kings, Judges 7? Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Look at, where is it, about verse 4?
No, I want to go to the part where it talks about the men drinking from the water. Does it begin at 7:4? Judges, that's why I'm in Joshua, no wonder. Here we go. Okay. Lord, help me this morning. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water. I'll try them for thee there. You see, as we enter into spiritual warfare, now the Lord is going to allow trials to come your way. And the reason he's doing this is he knows how great your faith is. But you and I need to know how we can trust God. We need to learn that we can trust God in all things. We need to learn to be an obedient army. So he is allowing their faith to be tried, and he says, I'm going to do it. Now, man's way is to receive glory is to put themselves in places of trial. That's not the way God does it, but anyhow. Okay. I will try them for thee, and it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. He brought them down to the water in verse 5. Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, likewise. And the number of them that lappeth, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300. But the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. So we see now that there was a group of 300, and there's much in that, but we'll just look at a portion of this. The group of 300 were willing to do two things. Number one, they were humble. They got down and they lapped like a dog. A dog is referred to in the scriptures as the lowliest of animals. It represents an attitude of great humility. Number two, they were lapping rivers of water, rivers of life, the life-giving word, the life of Jesus Christ, from the hand, the fivefold ministries, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And I want to stop here and I want to tell you something. When God places you in a place of fellowship where you are to be a ministry, now, I'm not saying you're going to be one of those ministries. There's many other ministries. But he will place you where that fivefold ministry is in operation. And that's how you know if you're in the wrong place. If they do not allow the prophet's ministry, the apostle's ministry, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher ministry, if they don't allow those five to operate freely, then you know that you're not in the place where God wants you to be. And you better boogie in a hurry. Because they're going to breathe death to you. They're not going to bring life to you. You're going to end up losing the battle instead of winning the war. Oh, please hear me. This is the truth. And those were the soldiers, amen, that God called to battle. Those that were drawing life from that fivefold ministry. Now, I just want to tell you one other thing. From Ephesians, it says that the fivefold ministry will be here until we reach a measure of stature of the fullness of the body of Christ. Then we're going to flow together in unity. And there will not be a necessity of the ministering of the fivefold body. We'll all be functioning under our proper functioning and order. But we haven't attained that goal yet. Okay. So we see that God uses conquerors who are full of faith and obedient to go forth in the army. And they are willing at all expense to draw from the river of life. They have no fear in them. Okay, so they needed deliverance, didn't they? Now look at me. Look at me to Romans chapter 12. Please don't look at me. Romans chapter 12. Yes, Lord, we'll make it. Thank you. We want to have a quick lesson about faith from the scriptures. But before we do, I want to pray a prayer with you. We need to have a swelling of our faith this morning so that we can receive from the Lord. It's scriptural. We'll look at it in a minute. So to change position, let's stand and let's pray together. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus we come. And Father, I would ask that you would bind and drive out any spirits of doubt right now. Anything that would come against faith, In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. You be gone. You take out anything with you right now that would minister doubt. The Lord rebuke you. You have to go. Okay, now let's pray together. Father, we come together representing a spiritual force that desire to be what you want us to be. We need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. We want to please you. Our faith needs to grow, needs to swell up. Would you please minister to us now and cause our faith to swell to a new high, that we might receive supernatural deliverance, healing, conditions of heaven in our life. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, glory to God. There's a hallelujah. Praise be to God. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. The last sentence, but we'll read the whole verse. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given you and I a measure of faith. Oh, I know that we know this, but we need to hear it with ears and let it become life in here. I've got a measure of faith. You've got a measure of faith. We've all got a measure of faith. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I got shoes, you got shoes, all God's children got shoes, right? That just hit me. Now, on this little seed of faith that Jesus has given us, I can't believe this. This faith that God the Father has given us through Jesus Christ and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are portions that are our options to use. There's five. Let's look at number one. Turn to Mark 4:40. Hallelujah. The disciples were riding out the storm in the ship. And Jesus was called upon. Because they were afraid, and for the sake of time, we'll not get into the story, but let's just read verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? There are many instances where fear overcomes us, and where the accuser is going to cause us to see things with fear and trembling and say, oh, my Lord, this is going to harm me. This is going to drive me into something that I'm not able to handle. It's going to breathe failure on me. It's going to cause me to, and whatever it might be, I don't want to say because I don't want to speak it into existence. But we're going to wrestle with the spirit of fear. And instead of wrestling with the spirit of fear and being of no faith, we must look unto Jesus, and he calms the storm by saying, peace, be still. So let's recognize there are going to be times where the accuser is going to attack us with a spirit of fear. And the word of God for when we have no faith is, peace, be still. Quote that to the evil one and he'll flee. And that storm will become a calm sea. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You see, Jesus was in the boat all the time. Hallelujah. Let's look at the next one. Faithless one. John chapter 20, verse 27. Oh, doubting Thomas. John chapter 20, verse 27. Let's read verse 26 and 27 so we can get it. And 28. Well, might as well go all the way. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And in verse 25, Thomas said, but But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. The area of doubt. God is working within us even this morning, supernatural life. He's breathing eternal life into us this morning. He is breathing, he is feeding us medicine, if we can look at it that way, that is healing us so that we will live forever and that we will live in a realm of perfection forever. I believe that. Glory be to God.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.